Welcome back to Manga Kaiwa.
Hey guys. All right. So 2 days delayed from when we were typically supposed to release the episode. But you know what? Like, we do be doing it, even if we got some Wi-Fi problems on the day.
Yes, we're still at it.
We're still at it. Yes, we are struggling indeed. Yes. I mean, not in that sense, but like, just, you know, struggling through life. Just struggling.
Yes, indeed. I'm saying.
Yeah, and so today is a bit more, sorry, I'll turn off that on my phone. That is pretty frustrating. But today, I guess like what we're more focusing on is a very kind of loose topic, but we have kind of organized it and streamlined it to the best of our ability, you know, to the point where it won't limit kind of like the fluidity of our conversation. But we're going to be talking about our anime manga roadmaps. So as in like what has our recent kind of reading palette been composed of, or watching palette been composed of, and what do we kind of have like a craving for in the future? Didn't mean to go with those weird gastronomical references right there, but I did, I guess. All right. So, I mean, yeah. So I guess I've been really looking forward to this because I feel like we talk about it just a lot, like in casual conversation, like, hey, what are you been ingesting?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very casual and you know, and but I'm looking forward to it because yeah, it's like, you know, very I feel it'll be very free flowing, so that'll be cool.
Yeah. Feel like that's awesome too. Like, obviously, yeah. I think the point of this podcast is, I mean, again, we've talked about it, it's a passion project, but it, like, the structure is kind of reflecting what we kind of talk about, like, even off of the podcast. And I think this is like even truer to that idea than a lot of the other ideas. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe we can do like these once in a while as well.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right. So first we wanted to start off, we're kind of going to go in like a semi-chronological order. It's probably not going to be as concrete as completely chronological, but first we wanted to go through series that we kind of recently experienced, as in like, you know, watched or read. I didn't want to say either. I guess experienced is a good way to kind of address both, even though it sounds a bit weird. But like just things that are memorable, because obviously there are a lot of probably small things that we've watched or read or just seen around, but like the really memorable things. So Ben, I actually, like, you know, I know one of the big ones in the recent past, but yeah, yes. Just go ahead. I want to hear from you first, putting you in the hot seat.
All right. All righty then. Okay. So a series that I've recently experienced, I've actually talked about it quite a bit now, but it's Gintama. So I feel like Gintama is very much a series that grows on you over time. Like I liked it, you know, from the beginning, I think, but you know, it's one of those series where like it takes its time to grow on you, but then when it hits its stride, I feel like, you know, it just shows its true strength. Because I feel like Gintama's strength to me lies in its characters, right? You have all these comedic arcs. You know, Gintama is mainly a comedic series, but you have like all of the comedic arcs that kind of like show you, you know, you get to, you know, spend time with the characters and get to know them. And then I feel like that it all pays off when you get to the serious arcs. Because, you know, I feel like if someone were to watch the serious arcs without actually, you know, just and just skipping the you know, the comedy arcs, I feel like, you know what I mean? It would just be a lot less of a payoff. And I feel like in general, I mean, me, Gintama has left quite the impact. I feel like honestly, Gintoki is now probably one of my favorite protagonists. And I feel like, I mean, this might sound pretty out there, but I feel like Gintama is honestly on the same level of Berserk to me right now.
I mean, yeah. And also like, you spent a long time with the series. I mean, obviously it's a long series too. Like how many episodes? Like almost 400?
It's like... Yeah, almost 367, something like that.
Almost as many days, or over the amount of days that there are in a year, man. I mean, I think it took you like what, like, I mean, I think you started like early summer, like late spring or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think I actually started a bit like earlier, because I feel like I started at like the end of 2020, and then I took like a small break to like, you know, like really get into Berserk, but then I went back and finished it, and I finished it like I think like a few weeks ago now. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. And it's like still dwelling in there in your head. Yeah, I love
still
that.
Festering.
Yeah, because like the thing is, I mean, I know this is going to sound like really weird, but when I first watched like the first anime that I got seriously invested in, and I think this goes for a lot of people, but it was Naruto for me. Yeah, I was that kind of person. Like, I remember just kind of getting worried about myself. Like, why can't I not stop thinking about this? I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that's how it is now, but it just kind of swirls around. Like, you just, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's been. It's just been swirling around and berserk, too. Like, I just have, like, constantly, like, in my head, making all these crazy comparisons between Gintama and Berserk. Like, I mean, I guess specifically the characters, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting for sure. I can't quite remember, but so you obviously took a break to read Berserk in between, but then what were you like watching / reading before that,
before Gintama? I think it was probably Samurai Champloo.
Which
is another series I love. So
I mean, I feel like you like I was saying, you really take the time all the time to like vet what you're going to look into. For me, it's just like I'm going to throw myself into it, and I feel like each of those have like their disadvantages and advantages, but like I feel like for you it's like quality and for me it's like quantity, which I don't know, maybe is bad, but I don't know, for me, I mean, but yeah
I will admit that I am kind of picky when I choose series
like,
to watch.
I mean, if you're gonna read stuff in something, why not, right? I feel like it's a good thing. Nice. Alrighty.
Yes. And
do you have anything else like that you've kind of recently kind of just like remembered? Like that's really kind of been memorable to you, or maybe just not, but you know, semi-memorable?
I think that maybe, I don't know, beyond Samurai Champloo, I'm not sure, but you can go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like, again, that kind of reflects, we have pretty different kind of consumption habits. Cause like, this is kind of not doing justice to how much of an investment it is to get into a series like Gintama, because it's very long. Like, I think Bleach is like around that length too, which is also a very long series, even though.
Yeah, but the funny part is that, cause like Bleach has a bunch of filler, but Gintama actually doesn't have that much filler. Well, I mean, you know, you might call it the comedy arc filler.
Yeah, I think they're like canon filler. Like.
Kind of, yeah.
And I guess they're also probably a bit easier to animate. I'm not saying they're easy, but easier, you know, like it probably is a really good rhythm for the animation team, or was. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead with like what I've been reading recently. So recently I finished Vagabond, which I think we might be talking about on the other end later on. But after I finished Vagabond, which was like a bit of a longer series that I did have to commit a bit more time to, I read a lot of like smaller-ish series, not small series, but smaller-ish. I read Ubelblatt, which is like a sort of like a Berserk-esque story that I think I've mentioned before. It was mediocre. It wasn't like an unenjoyable, but it was just sort of like, you know, whatever, like, you know, it was fun, but it was sort of just like, I was happy to be done with it at the end because it dragged out, but you know, whatever. But recently, I'm not completely done with it yet, but I have been having a blast with Ishita Sui Sensei's Tokyo Ghoul. And then Tokyo Ghoul Re. So I finished Tokyo Ghoul. I am on the 10th volume of Re. So I will have 6 more volumes to do it after that. Yes. I have Unravel playing on repeat throughout my head automatically as soon as I open the volumes. So like, you know. and so like that has been really fun. The art is something that is completely different from what I expected. Like it's so weird in a way that like I wouldn't have expected. It's like very gritty and it's heavy inking, which is often like that is what I expected. That's what everybody says about it. But it's almost inconsistent in the sense that like some scenes are very kind of like fluid and they just move very well. And then other actions, I'm talking about action sequence mostly, but other action sequence just seem like really rigid, but like the visuals are really good. Like it's almost like I'm watching an animation sometimes. Like you sacrifice is still visuals for movement or vice versa. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, again, Ishita Sui's artwork is amazing. Like, it really is. But I don't know. It just, it's weird sometimes. It's weird, but in a good way. Yeah. And then otherwise, I read a few small series as well. Like, I read Gleipnir. Gleipnir had a recent anime adaptation. And that was good. That was good. I have to say, I do like the dynamic between the two characters. That was really, really nice. I mean, again, it's not the best series, but I would definitely say I had more fun with a series like that than, for example, Ubel Blot, which is a bit long, which is like, I mean, significantly longer than Gleipnir. But I also read a series that I had a lot, and I mean a lot of fun with, which was Tsui no Taimashi Ender Geister. So, I mean, you guys probably, I mean, I don't know, maybe some of you have picked up on the fact that I'm kind of a sucker for those weird, like, Jagan or Gleipnir-esque stories where, like, there's just this really bizarre power system. Like, you know, and just people start to, like, these morally gray people just start having a free-for-all in society. And I guess Ender Geister is a bit different, but it's, like, it's just about, like, this dude, this German dude who is really, really freaking skilled with, like, everything that has to do with battle. And he kind of, like, you know, gets possessed by this demon, but he's able to kind of keep it under control. And he just decides, hey, you know, like, I'm in this weird world of demons now. I may as well just start, like, working for this organization that kills them. And they're not, like, really demons. And in fact, this is one of the things I like about it. It's just, like, it's just everything, like, weird and supernatural. Like, it's not just, like, demons. You know, it's not, like, your typical kind of, like, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen / Demon Slayer kind of demon extermination corpse. It's more like this organization that, you know, is just responsible for, like, destroying these weird kind of, like, there, it can be like goblins or witches or, like, whatever. It's just like these weird things that just pop up. And what I really liked about the series, like, the most is that it was, like, fast paced but done perfectly, because sometimes fast paced is very, very distressing and it kind of loses you. Or once you're finished, you're just completely burnt out because you've just kind of consumed so much information. But here, it felt like it owned that fast-pacedness because it's a spy, like, you know, it's a spy kind of vibe. It's like, you know, people are doing things really quickly. They're moving from point A to point B really quickly. And, like, you know, I just liked it a lot. And I liked the powers as well. They were cool. That was Ender Geister. I'm trying to think what else I did. I think, like, what I really did like otherwise was Kaiju number 8. Yep, I read that. That was really good. It was just, you know, it was just a very, very, very enjoyable series in the sense that, like, you know, it's just, it feels like you're, when you read the synopsis, it's like, wait, this is Attack on Titan, like, in a lot of ways, but it's a lot more shonen. It's a lot less dark, I would say. And then also it's, like, in a futuristic setting. And I don't know, it's very different. I mean, the fact that you can say when you're making the synopsis, spoilers here, but that the main character can transform into a giant, like, really strong beast, and so can a lot of the antagonists. Like, it sounds very Attack on Titan, but, and I know it has been compared, but I think it's very different. And I think they're doing a great job with the characters as well. I'm really looking forward to see how it develops.
Yep.
So that is my, what I have been reading recently, or I guess I haven't really watched anything. So Ben, what have you been keeping up with, my sir? If not,
yes.
I mean, have you, like, been keeping up with any kind of news about, like, a certain release, like, or something like that?
Well, I mean, I guess not in particular. Well, like, I mean,
a movie, for example, maybe, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, because I think the one thing is would probably be, you know, the Gintama, the final movie, which is coming to theaters. In about 2 months, I think, and I think it's gone sale soon. So, but other than that, I feel like I haven't really been keeping up with really any new releases. So I feel like I actually want to take this opportunity to, like, I guess, like, substitute this with I guess going back to, like, what I've recently experienced. So as you will you may recall, I mentioned that I, like, before Gintama, I watched Samurai Champloo. But actually, I recently, well, not really recently, but, like, relatively, this was, I think, after I finished Berserk, but I hadn't finished Gintama yet. So I actually took the time to rewatch both Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop in that order. And I don't know, I feel like doing so just gave me, I guess, renewed appreciation for those series, especially like watching them in tandem, like in succession. I feel like you get this sense that like Cowboy Bebop is like this spiritual sequel to Samurai Champloo, or like the other way around. Samurai Champloo was like this spiritual prequel to Cowboy Bebop. But you know, it just gave me a newfound appreciation for both series, and just like, you know, just how artistically, you know, beautiful they are, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, like, I haven't watched Champloo yet, and that's because I'm sort of like in an anime incapacitation right now. But I do have an anime, let's just say, which is a bit big, that I have in mind that I really would like to try, but, you know, who knows if I'll make it. Because I've heard from a lot of people that are very much more manga readers than anime watchers, such as myself, that have recently been struggling a lot. Like, they just can't sit down and watch anime anymore because they feel like frustrated because they're getting held up and they're not able to go at their own pace, which I guess I can see myself also experiencing, but I'm going to try it. And so just in terms of like what I've been keeping up with, a lot of series actually that are going to end soon. And I guess that's also because I read them in the first place, because I knew they were, you know, pretty long. And since they're pretty long, they probably don't have that much to go. So Fire Force or Nen no Shobotai, I've been keeping up with that. The last two chapters have been really, really freaking weird. Or the last three chapters, like, it's just sort of like a WTF, like Atsushi Okubo, the author moment. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, we're at the end of the world right now. I don't know, I'll spoil it a bit, but it was like all about how weird, like, you know, like sex appeal was somehow like an important thing. Like, I don't know. He spent like three freaking chapters trying to explain that with like this one character. And it's almost like he's trying to make like one of his weird quirks for one of the characters like legit, like actually part of the story somehow. And it's just like, no, man, what are you doing? Just like, the thing is, it was sort of like this really weird cool down from like this really intense like fight that was, I have to say, like one of the best like drawn fights that I've ever experienced in manga. And I think people are going to flip out once like it comes more to light, because it was really good. But like, there, you know, it's Atsushi Okubo. He has like this WTF moment like every few chapters. Like last time, he just took some photos and put them in the actual official release. Like, it was like supposed to be like some kind of real world. And the current world in which the story is taking place in is looks cartoony because of some weird apocalyptic scene. You know, it's just like, okay, man, okay. But you know, I'll deal with it if we have like hype moments like Dragon versus Arthur in between, which is what I was talking about earlier. And otherwise, I don't know how I feel about like talking about why I keep up with the series, but it's mostly because I'm fascinated by Hiroya Oku, you know, the author of Gansen Inuyashiki, and I think he's an amazing author, albeit he's very expositionist, like in the sense that he's I feel like sometimes he's just some kind of Go Nagai worshipper, like Go Nagai being the man who was actually an apprentice, the father of manga, Osamu Tezuka, and kind of redefined manga and sort of set the path for what it is today, which is sort of like a lot of ecchi, like a lot of kind of like weird, like, you know, just what anime is. It's like the very definitive tone of like just violence, edginess, gore, and like kind of sexuality and stuff like that. And I feel like him too, but Hiroya Oku is just like this guy who completely embraces that with like a very modernistic touch because of his art style, you know, being very CGI based, but like he uses those as frames. And so the series that I'm talking about, wow, took me long enough, is Gigant, or Gigant, as some people say it. Really, 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 really weird plot, but I've followed it for a while now. And I mean, it's coming to a close, but I'm really, really glad that I followed up with it. And another series that is very Go Nagai-esque, or at least stemming from that same root, is Jagan, which I've talked about a lot. It is one of my favorite series, is also coming to an end. I don't know how I feel about like the pace that there has been in the last few chapters. It just felt very kind of like repetitive. But then again, like again, I read most of the series. I binged most of it and I caught up to it, and now it's weekly, so, or I guess less than weekly, so it's a bit harder to feel like invested. But I do feel like the first few chapters that I read after I caught up were a bit better paced, but you know, who knows? It's the end of the series. I'm really happy with what I've experienced so far. And of course, I'm also keeping up with Jujutsu Kaisen. I mean, you know, what an incredible series. I really, 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 really love this series because I think it has done so much for the shonen genre. And I will always stick to the fact that the seriousness and the way that it carries itself, the sort of poise of Akutami the author, is very important to what makes me love the series. It doesn't consider you stupid. It, you know, it makes the power system as complicated as it wants to be. And in a very, you know, kind of clear way, is inspired by Hunter x Hunter, which is kind of obvious when you see like the similarities in the power system, the exchange system, and just like the seriousness and like the unwillingness to pull punches that both authors have. And also, I say this all the time, but Gege has admitted that she is very, I mean, not inspired, but like, you know, implied, because she said she's very kind of like a fan of Togashi's work. And otherwise, I mean, three other series that I've talked about before, Kaiju number 8, Glate Nier and Tsui no Tamashi, Taimashi, although I think all of these, besides Kaiju number 8, I haven't like been there when a new chapter has come out. I think for Kaiju number 8, I've like been there for one chapter that came out, but for Glate Nier and Tsui no Taimashi, I don't know what's going on. There's some kind of delay in the scan lading or whatever. But then finally, Baki Doll, which has been, I think, doing quite well. I really like what's going on. I mean, again, it's just Baki, and I feel like Baki must be hellish series to catch up to do weekly, because it is a lot of repetition, and often that repetition in a weird ironic way is much more enjoyable when you binge it, because it's just like fight. But here it's like you're getting like, imagine like, you know that weird meme format where it's like the horse cross sections, but it's like one of them is like blurred out, but like imagine if it was just all the cross sections, and it's just like you get one cross section, you get one piece of the picture like every week, and it's like cool, yeah. I feel like I should really just wait for a few chapters to pile up, but Baki is really good, so it's hard, but also I should, you know, sus things happening with Yujiro, but whatever.
Sus thing with Yujiro. I told you about it. That doesn't really surprise me, actually.
Well, no, like it's more sus than I think I told you about this last episode, but it's like there's this thing, like, and again, it's typically Itagaki, and I said this last episode, but he's just like, hey, like, I want to show how much of a Chad Yujiro is. And then he goes into like how like, you know, like there's these two characters, the chairman, the Tokugawa, and the kind of main doctor character of the series. They're just discussing like, you know, like, yes, Yujiro Hanma is such a Chad, like not literally like that, but like Yujiro Hanma is so strong, and his testosterone levels, like this is literally what they said, are so high compared to every being in the world that everybody else is just a wimp. And again, this is very sexist sounding, but a female to him. That's just because Yujiro is like a stupo macho man. It's like, and also like even more sus than that, and I don't know why I'm telling this, but it's just so weird, and a lot of people kind of like flipped out about it on Reddit and stuff, but like apparently he like raped a guy, which is weird, but like,
you know? I wouldn't expect him to do that with a guy.
Really okay. Weird. It's like, it's sort of like, why did you need to put us through this, Itagaki? It's hard because like Baki is, you know, just like a weird series, but at the same time, I was like, huh, why? We didn't need to know that. I mean, like, you know, it's like, and I don't know, it was weird, but I'm still keeping up with Baki Doll 2018. Again, Baki Doll is also, you know, the name just in a different arrangement of a previous Baki serialization, but yeah. Alrighty, so next time period. So we've kind of covered what we're keeping up with, what we're currently reading and all that kind of stuff. But now it's the future. Ben,
yes,
do you want to go ahead, like what you're planning?
All right. So I think that the first thing coming up for me is would actually be the new Baki season. Son of Ogre, I think it's coming to Netflix on The 30th? So, well, wow, actually pretty soon. So I feel like after, you know, I'm done with, I'm caught up with, done with Vinland Saga season one, which I've been working my way through. I'll definitely get to watching that. And so that'll be pretty epic. And of course, as I've said numerous times.
I completely forgot. I didn't let you say what you are currently watching or reading. Damn, sorry.
But like, no worries. Yeah. So I've been watching Vinland Saga, the first season of the anime, and then and I've also been reading Vagamon. Actually, I've finished the first three volumes, so I'm not too far. But I have definitely enjoyed what I've read, and I think that Vagamon especially is a pretty big, it's a very pretty big undertaking, but especially now. Since I'm in college and I've gotten a lot busier, but I'll slowly but surely I will work my way through it. So
I recommend going arc by arc, actually, if now that I'm thinking of it, like arc by arc, in the sense that, like, because I think it's important to experience at least like especially a Vagabond arc all in one. But like when you have like a free moment, I would just like read a whole arc, if you get what I'm saying. I don't know. That's just my recommendation, but. Because like next is like a really important arc that you're going to go through. It's the Hozoin arc, which is like very, very important for Musashi's development. Otherwise, I mean, like, I guess we can keep going with what I had to interrupt there because of my ignorance. Which is like what we're planning on doing. So, I mean, you said after you're done reading like Vagabond and watching Vinland Saga, then I cut you off. Continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think after, I think not necessarily after I'm done with Vagabond, but after I'm done with Vinland Saga, I'll probably get to watching the new season of Baki when that comes out, the anime. So that'll be exciting. I think that, and of course, there is the final Gintama movie, which I've mentioned, and also the JoJo Part 6 anime in December, which is very exciting. And Vinland Saga Season 2, which I'm not sure exactly when that is supposed to come out, but now that I think about it, I feel like we're getting a lot of stuff on our plate, which is very cool to think about.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of pretty big stuff being announced. Like, I guess I can say one of the things that I'm looking forward to. It's also the JoJo's Part 6 anime, but also like the Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 0 movie. Or I guess it's just called Jujutsu Kaisen 0 because it's not a volume, but it is based on the zero volume of Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm just quite excited for that because I think, especially now that Demon Slayer has sort of redefined the formula of anime movies and how they can be used to adapt like canonical material and actually benefit from that and boost the popularity of the series, especially building off of like a popular like first season, which is what Demon Slayer did and what I am expecting a lot of other things to do. Like Gintama, I guess, it wasn't just the first season, but it's also doing that. But I really hope that animated movies become more accessible outside of Japan, like regularly. Obviously, I think that'll be easier in the US than like in Europe. I mean, maybe in France they'll do it, but like here, for example, it's just like, it's just weird here. In Germany, like, I feel like people are less willing to sort of like go for original video. Like even Hollywood movies are really hard to find an original video. Whereas in France, like, I think even like a lot of French kids and families just go see it in original video because they're like, artistes, they're connoisseurs.
Like original videos in theaters?
In theaters, like original language. Like here in Germany, it's actually quite hard to go to a movie like in English if it's like a Hollywood production. Whereas in France, it's like very, very easy because it's almost like easier than going to a French dub. Like I would say it's 50-50 most times. Because like, they have a very like, they're very kind of, I don't want to say something that I shouldn't, but like, proud of their kind of artistic heritage. And I mean, that's just my perspective, as a French person. they're kind of like, we want to keep it pure and authentic and stuff, which I guess I respect. I shouldn't make fun of it. It's just French people. And I'm French myself, guys. Okay, I'm sorry. I have it right. I have a passport, okay. I'm really looking forward to that. Did you have anything else? I kind of cut you off there and went on another rant.
Yeah, no worries. I think that besides that, I think I also want to get to checking out the Star Wars Visions series, yeah, which has recently come out. I think that a lot of it looks cool, but like you know, some of it looks a little, you know, a little weird. But yeah, I think that I definitely do want to get to checking out, just like as a Star Wars fan and as an anime fan in general. So yeah, I mean, some of the animation does actually look pretty good. So
yeah, and
everyone I've seen at least from the
trailer. I remember like a few months ago, you did mention like wanting to get into Lupin the third, but like, or let's just like Lupin.
Oh yeah, and that too. Yeah, yeah. I want to get into Lupin the third. I think that once I'm done with like, I guess like the newer material that's like coming out, I think, and once I have like a more of like an interval of time, I feel like I do want to definitely, yeah, get into Lupin the third.
Yeah, and I think like what's so interesting about that is like, you know, there are a lot of those kind of anime franchises. I mean, not a lot, but there are a decent amount. Like I can think of a few, you know, that are sort of like not anthological, but like they just sort of build on like content like over a long, long, long period of time. Like even when you think it's over, it's not really, it's like a legacy, like sort of Evangelion, the rebuilds and adaptations and stuff. Although Evangelion's a bit of a smaller scale than Lupin because there's a lot of movies. And I guess Lupin is also unique in the sense that it's primarily movies. I don't think there's any really important like season, like episode based parts of the story. But for example, I guess what I kind of wanted to smoothly dovetail into is that the anime that I might want to try is Monogatari. And I know like a lot of people really love this series. And I also think like, you know, I watched like a Beyond the Bot, like, video, like Beyond the Bot being like sort of, the successor to the like kind of classic anime YouTube channel, Get in the Robot. They're kind of like, I think an offshoot of that. I think there was like a bit of a kind of like change or rebranding or like just we don't want to be part of this anymore kind of movement that went on. And they've been making really good content. I've mentioned them, I think, pretty often. But they did make this really convincing argument in one of their videos that a lot of the best anime, like Cowboy Bebop, other Watanabe works, like Samurai Champloo, Evangelion, they've all been anime originals. Like, it's because I think what you can uniquely get in anime is what makes the best anime, and for manga as well. Not to say that things like, you know, animated sequences adapting very like influential manga chapters or scenes like in Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen can't be visually amazing, but story-wise and just like the artistic flavor, I think is really the best when it's in the originals. And Monogatari isn't an original per se, but visually it's very original because it's based off of light novels by Nisho Ishin, who's like very, very famous. And obviously it's a shame because as someone who doesn't understand Japanese completely, hopefully I will in the future, I can't really appreciate the kind of like technicalities of his language, which I've heard he's very known for in his native language. And that's why I think it's pointless to read the light novels, you know, in the first place. I wouldn't, but even more so, I don't know. I should just get to a light. I don't know. I want to stay open, but it's, I don't know. Yeah. I should read books at some point. I don't know. I don't want to go on that tangent. But anyway, I want to start watching Monogatari. And I know it's quite the undertaking since there's like a lot of like releases that kind of cover different parts of the story, like in not the right order, like chronological order is not release order, that kind of crap. But yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll get into that. And although I kind of have some old great PTSD, I didn't mean that like, yeah, well, you know, like, cause I got fooled by him three times by buying three of his works and hating three of his works and having them as the lowest ranking work, like manga that I've ever read one after the other. I'm sort of hesitant, but he is the artist adapting, I think, one of the arcs of Monogatari in manga form right now, which a lot of people are really liking. And I mean, Monogatari also sells, so I'm not surprised, but I mean, his art is good, but you know, it's just, I don't know. I kind of hate him. I shouldn't, but I kind of hate him. yeah, that's what I'm kind of looking forward to mainly in terms of an anime. And Ben, tell me if you want to say something, like, please butt in, because, like, I have a lot of stuff on my list.
Sorry,
But, like, in terms of manga, that's, like, the kind of only anime that I really want to get into. Let's start off with, like, for me at least, with things that I would like to catch up on, which I guess isn't a lot, but One Punch Man. I'd like to catch up on One Punch Man. I have read all the English release volumes. I don't know if volume 23 has come out yet, but let's just say I've read up to volume 23. I haven't read like the anime, what has been animated. So I've watched all the way to volume 17. And obviously I think a lot of people know that volume 17 is where the anime kind of stops. So I read from volume 17 to 22. And I want to read beyond because I know there's a lot more content. And in this kind of monster arc that has been going on for ages now, Monster Association arc. And I mean, hopefully like I'll be able to catch up, you know, as the Monster Association arc concludes. Although I think most people want it to conclude, it doesn't really look like it or feel like it's concluding, which I don't know. You know, One Punch Man, do be One Punch Manning. And also Yusuke Murata released like this really cool, like kind of like just fun animation on his Twitter channel. Like, I feel like I'm plugging all of the things I learned from like Forever World's Forever News in these videos all the time, but it's really helpful. Like, but I watched it. It's quite cool, actually. It's like just Saitama wanted to go get groceries and realizing that I think the kind of discount runs out in like 5 minutes and he needs to run to like a grocery very far away and stuff like that. I don't know. It's cool. It's fun. And also it looks cool. And it's a mangaka that's animating it, which is also cool. Yeah. And otherwise, I mean, I have a lot more that I want to talk about, but in terms of manga, I actually also have some other like non-manga, but I guess kind of closely related things. Let's get those out of the way first, actually. I really want to read in terms of manhwa, so Korean kind of webtoons, manhwa. I'm really, really interested in Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint because it's like a very kind of soul-leveling-esque story, which I read as well. And I mean, it's addicting. Everybody knows that if they've read it, it's very addicting. And I think Omniscient Reader has a very kind of similar tone in terms of like the battle slash sort of like serious tone that it has. And then I would also like to read actually The Breaker and The Breaker New Waves, which are kind of like kind of pretty classic manhwa. And they basically look like manga because they're black and white. And I mean, there are a few of those. Like, I'm also interested in Shin Angyo Onchi, which is another very successful black and white, like manga-esque. But it's not a manga because it's written by a Korean author, which is, I guess, sort of weird, but whatever, that they have to be so picky about it. But or that the, I guess, community, I don't know, whatever. But The Breaker New Waves are two parts of like pretty successful like martial arts manga, which I'm so confused about because like you cannot find it anywhere on like eBay. Like you just can't buy them physically. And then I just like, it's just French people once again. Like, I just go into, you know, like, this big French, like, the FNAC, as they call it, like, where they have all the kind of, like, videos and, like, hardware and all that kind of crap. It's, like, this big kind of, like, hardware, games, books, like, whatever, like, kind of amenities mall. And, yeah, they just have The Breaker, like, in French. Like, you know, it's more accessible than really? The version. And it's, like, wow. It's like, and they have, like, really good releases for it as well. And it's just like, oh, my God, French publishers. My God, you guys have everything. You're even making your own stuff. Like, they do. They have Manfra right now. Like, Manfra. Like, French Manfra. Yes. Like, there are a few of them. Like, more than you can count on your fingers, which is crazy. And they're not unsuccessful. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, other than that, like, I also have some manhua, so some Chinese kind of comics that I really want to get into. The one that I want to get into kind of, you know, lesser of the two, but I still am very interested in is Feng Shanji because of the color. It looks like a very masterful application of color, which is obviously not something you experience almost at all in manga, but you know, if you can do it well, I am willing to experience it. But then even more than that, like series that I want to read like a lot, like even among like manga and everything else is Ravages of Time, Sean Moe's work, I think that's the author's name. Man, like I've seen some of the panels for this and it's like, it's scary levels of art. Like it is scary how good it looks. Like it's just like, what the heck? You just made like the most gruesome war scene look very, very beautiful. And it's like, I mean, again, I don't really know the context, but I know it's like, you know, very kingdom-like actually in the sense that it's like the spring and autumn period, I'm pretty sure, you know, like kind of, I think turmoil in China and just like warring countries. I don't know if it's the warring states period, but I think spring and autumn is pretty close to that or is even that, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Oh, all right, Ben, I want to take a break just to ask you if you wanted to talk about anything, because I have a few more things I want to talk about.
Yeah. All right. So I guess another thing I wanted to mention was the Bleach anime, the adaptation of the final arc, the 1,000-year Blood War. We're still waiting on that. It's I guess it'll come out in 2022 now sometime. So yeah.
Why can't they give us a bit more details? You know, why?
Yeah, because we still haven't gotten anything. Like,
we don't even know the studio yet. Like, can you? I mean, I guess it's probably a hot topic, but I mean, they have to be producing it already if they plan on releasing it in 2022. Like, the studio must have been chosen already, at least that.
Yeah.
And if not, like,
I guess I'm not sure why they'd hide that, but yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, if they haven't chosen the studio yet, we're not going to get this until 2023. Like I said, at the earliest, that'll be then. But, you know, like, whatever. So
it's, which is weird to think about, because this was, I mean, I think they said that it would be for Bleach's 20th anniversary. So,
well, yeah, COVID, I guess, also played a part, but like, it's
yeah,
not like
COVID,
other,
yeah.
But it's not like other studios haven't been like producing, like, I mean, I guess MAPPA is also an exception since they're kind of notorious for overworking. But I mean, a lot of other studios have been going strong, like Kyoto even, which got, you know, kicked pretty hard, unfortunately, a few years back. A horrible event, but I guess, you know, I don't want to underestimate the effects of COVID, but something sus is happening with TYBW. Hopefully it'll all go well. I'm looking forward to it too. That was actually another thing that I wanted to mention. All right, anything else before I keep going?
I think that, oh yeah, well, I guess in the Bleach manga itself, we did get that one shot, so, and which I guess was kind of pointing to a new arc. So I feel like if, you know, Bleach does, you know, go ahead with a new arc in the manga, I feel like I definitely want to check that out. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe those two things that we just mentioned are somehow related. Maybe Kuba's going to be like, hey, the anime is going to be announced and Kuba's going to be like, hey, guess what? Remember that one shot? I'm going to keep going with that story. That's how they be doing things. You know, they want to sell us.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm complaining. Kubo, amazing.
Yes.
All right. Can I continue?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Joestar.
Mr. Joestar. Go ahead. Yes, Darby. all right. Don't want to be an obnoxious JoJo referencing person. But all right. So manga, in terms of manga that I want to read. Shumatsu no Varukure, I've kind of mentioned this, I think, but I haven't read it. Like, I really want to read it because, I mean, obviously the anime, I've heard some pretty negative things about, some, you know, people saying it's not that bad, but it's obviously not good enough for people to have a widespread consensus that it's good. But the manga, of course, has been kind of like dubbed by a lot of people as like the best kind of fighting manga out there right now. Which reminds me that I'm also very interested in Kengan Ashura, which I think I've seen some people saying like it's one of the best kind of like weekly releases that you can get into. Like,
yeah, and sorry to interject, but yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry to interject, but I've heard that they're actually doing a Baki x Kengan Ashura crossover.
Yep, that is something that I've heard of as well. But like, it's been in the kind of the air for a while now. But like, I think a release date might have just gotten announced, if not like an approximate kind of like time of release. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be canon, but I guess it's kind of cool. But then, well, I guess in terms of Kengan is over. Kengan Ashura is over, but Kengan Omega, which is like the second part, is obviously like a continuation of the story. Although I think it's very different in like the protagonist sense, but I also want to get into that, obviously. Then what else? I mean, like, I think like the next series that I want to read, and I don't know why I have a craving to read it, but I just do, is Owari no Seraphu, Seraph of the End, which got a pretty infamous anime adaptation. But I'm just very interested in like the art style. It's like a very kind of like, I don't want to say Kubo-esque, because like the proportions are completely different. Like, you know, they're kind of almost like chibi looking characters, I have to say, like in Owari no Seraphu. It looks very much like the Twin Star Exorcist, which is another series I want to read, but that's like more of a series I want to collect. But I think the art styles are very similar between those two. But the reason I mentioned Bleach is because Seraph has a very, very, very huge lack of gray tones, which I think is very Kubo, because Kubo like does not use a lot of gray tones. Like he doesn't use a lot of like soft blacks. He uses like pitch black and white. Like it's just very Kubo in that sense, because I've seen it a lot in the panels that I've seen online. Wichat Atelier, I'm really interested in as well, because I've heard about how innovative its paneling style is. Hakaiju, I mean, Hakaiju is like that infamous horror manga. I've not really done horror manga before, although I guess I've kind of done like hybrids that have horror elements but aren't really primarily horror, but Hakaiju is pretty primarily horror. It's like a monster action. And apparently like the monsters are some of like the most like kind of creative out there, which I'm kind of scared about. Like, creative in that context does not sound good. Okay, and then One Piece. Obviously, that's a pretty like big project, but I'm going to get into it at some point for sure. I have a responsibility, but not just that. I also just, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about the recent arc, and obviously just as One Piece as a whole, and I'm going to get into it. Let's see. Then there is also another pretty big series that I'd like to get into, which is Usogi. I've heard so much good stuff about this. It's like that weird kind of battle gambling manga. It's like, imagine like Kaiji Ultimate Survivor, but like it's like really Chad and cool. Like not that Kaiji isn't good. Like I've heard a lot of good things about it and the author too, but yeah, its art style, I mean again, like this is a very common complaint, and I know it's stupid because the story is probably awesome because of how widespreadly kind of beloved it is. But anyway, Usogi is really good artistically. Like actually, I think I've heard the author is very often kind of boated in with Ishida, the author of Tokyo Ghoul and Tokyo Ghoul Re, in like the artistic style, like in terms of like the techniques, I guess. I don't know if that's right, but I think I might have. It just looks really interesting. And it's, I think, a 49 volume series, so it's a bit of a commitment for sure. But again, like, you know, okay, weird intermission, but Ben, do you know a bit about manga magazines, like kind of scheduled to release magazines? Like, you know,
scheduled like, to release?
Well, like there's Shonen Jump, for example, and then Weekly Shonen.
Yeah.
Well, like, I cannot tell you like how many really, really freaking good series have been published in the same magazine that Usogi and Tokyo Ghoul / Tokyo Ghoul Re have been published in. Young Jump. Like, my gosh, Gantz was published in there. Like, so many really good series were published in that magazine. And like Kingdom is also currently serializing there, if I'm not mistaken. And that's like just
aren't all the like Jump, I guess, magazines under Shueisha, or are they separate?
I don't think all the Jump ones are necessarily, like, for example, I mean, I guess maybe you're right, but Jump does not I don't know if Jump necessarily means Shueisha, although all the Jump titles I can think of are Shueisha. But then again, like, just because they're Shueisha doesn't mean like they're really closely connected, because Shueisha is very big. I mean, although, like, yeah, it is kind of Kodansha versus Shueisha versus a few kind of smaller ones, but yeah. You might be right, actually. I never thought of that. But yeah, then the last kind of two little small titles was two Tsutomu Nihei works, an older one that is a lot, like a lot of people love, Abara, and then second one, which is, I think, currently going on, if I'm not mistaken, which is called Aposhims, or I guess that's the name of the ship. Opossums is the name in English. In Japanese, it's Ningyo no Kuni. I guess it's really funny because Abara is like an older Nihei style, like the really heavy inking. And then like Aposhims is like, actually, I think in the same universe as Knights of Sidonia, which is like the first kind of work where Tsutomu Nihei has just decided, hey, I don't want to use as much ink anymore. Guess what? I'm going to use like a fraction of the ink that even a regular artist uses. And he just makes it look like everything's being like blasted with light all the time. Opossums has a similar style, if I'm not mistaken. And then X-Arm, the notorious manga that got adapted pretty terribly by Netflix. Or no, Crunchyroll.
I think I've actually seen like clips of the anime. So it's pretty bad.
But the manga, I've looked at the manga looks pretty good. I mean, it kind of does look like a Ghost in the Shell ripoff, but you know, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe. There's obviously some references to it, But yeah, I'm looking forward to all of those. Sorry, that was very long-winded. Yeah.
Yes, no worries.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm actually wondering, like, are there any, like, manga that you want to read after Vagabond?
I think I'm not sure, actually. I think that, I guess I haven't, like, really planned that far ahead since, you know, Vagabond on its own is already such a huge undertaking. But,
yeah,
not at the moment, I will say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, I feel like once I get into classes and, like, a bit more rigorous coursework, I'm definitely going to have less time, but I remember like literally walking home from school with you and being like, oof, I want to read JoJo's, but I'm probably not going to finish it until I finish high school. Like I was like convinced that I wouldn't be able to finish like the three parts of JoJo's, but then like the pandemic happened and I was like, wait, what? I just finished JoJo's a year before I graduated high school. Now I have all this time to read other stuff. And yeah, that's early manga addiction phase, yes. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, just like a few more things. Like there are some mangaka, like just general mangaka that I really want to get into. There's one mangaka who is like often kind of synonymous with the word mangaka because of how many hits he's written. Urasawa, you know, I mean, I need to get into him. Naoki Urasawa, who has like one of the best YouTube channels in terms of mangaka, like Boichi also has one, but I think it's a bit less kind of professional, which, you know, is just a choice. But I mean, you know, Urasawa, 20th Century Boys, Pluto, like a lot of big names. And the only thing that has really kept me is his art style, which sucks because I should not be such an art simp. You know, Solomon, our friend called me that. And it's like, it's the perfect description for my taste. I'm an art simp. I get tricked by art into reading terrible series, but then I also don't read good series just because they don't have an art style that I like. Like,
yeah, exactly. I think that I'm a similar case because I feel like, well, I wouldn't call myself like a complete art simp. I feel like when there's an art style I don't particularly like,
yeah,
it just limits. I just have a hard time getting into that series because, well, like, you know, with One Piece, I feel like, you know,
it's also the length,
but I feel like I just can't get into the art style.
Well, like, I feel the manga for me, and also, like, if you look at some clips in the recent Wano arc, at least for the anime, like, it looks amazing. Like, just regardless of stills, like, just character proportions and stuff, the fluidity in the Sakuga is, you know, to be expected of the number one manga, you know, adaptation, the number one manga in the world's adaptation. It looks really freaking good. But then otherwise, like, I think One Piece's art style has evolved massively. And I'm going to consume it at one point.
Consume.
Yes. And then otherwise, an author that I've really started to get interested in is Kakizaki Masasumi, who's written things like Green Blood, Rainbow, and Hideout, and has recently also... Actually, I think I just heard recently from For Never World again that he is also going to be serializing a new series called Yomotsu Hegui or something like that. And it sounds like a really interesting plot. To my knowledge, Kakizaki hasn't really done a lot of like kind of fantasy, as in like superpowers and stuff. But his art is incredible and a lot of very iconic kind of works by him. But like, it's kind of similar because Sakamoto, who's written like The Climber and Innocent, also hasn't done a lot of supernatural, but he's like also just started serializing his first supernatural series, which is called DRCL Midnight Children, which I'm also keeping up with, actually. I failed to mention that. It's literally the adaptation of the Dracula, like Dracula novel. Like, it's a weird vibe because it's not his story, but I mean, I like it for sure. And I think also Sakamoto hasn't actually, he's done it that a lot, actually. He's taken like a story that already exists and like turned it into a manga form. Like The Climber was actually based off of a novel, but he did adapt, he did make the second part of the story up because, yeah. Yeah.
And isn't Vagabond also similar in that sense? Because I think of like on the
yeah,
it wasn't like the story adapted from a novel of some sort?
Yeah, or? It was from Musashi. Like the novel is called Musashi. And I think it's Eiji Yoshikawa. Yeah, something like, I don't know. I think it's actually a pretty well-known novel and it's gotten more than just that adaptation. But I feel like the manga is like so successful that the novels like reprints have like Inoue's art on them. And then I think like also like there's been a live action and like all that kind of stuff. But it's a pretty old novel. I think it's like pre 21st century and stuff like that. I mean, I think the 80s or 70s or something. And then one last author that I'm really getting kind of interested in is Takashi Tsutomu, who looks artistically absolutely breathtaking. Also, I think someone who's been serialized in a Young Jump. He's written a series called Shidu, which is, or I don't know how you pronounce it in Japanese, but Shidu, it sounds like, I think like Warrior's Way, I think it is, but it's spelled S-I-D-O-O-H, which sounds like almost like kind of like Southeast Asian almost, like, I don't know. He's also written two other series called Alive and the other Sky High, and all they all look very artistically impressive. But then also like, I've just heard a lot of good things about his stories and also a lot of sad stories about how Scanlations just like stopped like a few chapters before the end of the series. Like, and it's just like, why are you doing that to a Scanlation team? You know, and all that kind of stuff. I do be hating it when Scanlators scanlate most of a series and make it like unnecessary for other Scanlation teams to scanlate it, and then you just stop, and then the other Scanlation teams that would have done it are just like, hey, like, what the heck? Now we can't scanlate this because it's such a commitment of time, and also like we would need to scanlate all the stuff that hasn't been. I don't know the scanlator world, but sometimes it do be annoying. But you know, that's just how it be. Thank you for scanlating in the first place. I shouldn't be so ungrateful, honestly. Final thing is Chojin X by Tsuyoshida, which doesn't have a lot of chapters out, but I think it's going to get a more consistent release right now, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's more like Tsuyoshida's just going to be releasing like he wants to, like he has, but the magazine, I think it's Young Jump again, is going to be like releasing like what he's already like kind of piled up, like more regularly. So Ishida's just going to have to be fast to a certain extent, but he's not going to be on a strict schedule. Yeah. Woo. Probably going to lose my voice now. Sorry, I talked so much.
No, it's all right. Yeah, I feel like, I feel like you, I think you definitely are like more planned out than me with all of this, but I feel like I still have like, somewhat of an idea of like, you know, what I want to check out next. And yeah.
Well, this is also like, obviously this could all change, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
All right. So anywho.
Thank you very much, brothers, for this episode.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around with us, and I enjoyed this. This was, you know, again, I liked how you know, this was more of like a free flowing episode, but I think that, and next time we'll probably be, you know, back as we've been doing with another top 10 of some sort,
but you know, after we stop recording we might discuss that.
Yes.
No, I don't know if how many of you are sitting on the edge of your seats to know, but yeah, you know, I'd be grateful if it was one person. Okay. All right, then.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yes. Bye.
Ciao, strugglers. Good. Bye.